Hey, what's up, Chicago? Guess what? It is Monday. I'm going to get it together. Woo, my God. It is Monday. June the 5th, 6th? One of them. 2016. And Take a Limits Off is on the air live. Woo. From your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. We're going to take a real quick break. And we're going to be right back. Y'all stay blessed. My goodness, we apologize for that. I had to run downstairs and do something real quick. And, yeah, didn't realize I was going to be running a full sprint on the way back up here. Still not.
Still waiting.
What's going on over there? Yeah. Anyway, look, we are live from the west side of Chicago, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. In the studio, as always, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Daniel King, alongside my brother in ministry. We both up in here sweating like Hebrews. Pastor Devon, how are you, sir?
Good, good. How's it going?
I'm good, man. Blessed. It's a wonderful thing. I had this whole plan on how I was going to start the show.
Mm-hmm.
Today, but I got caught up trying to get that over there working today. But I'm gonna do this, and then we gonna. Matter of fact, let me do this. If you're listening, if you're already listening on the phone, you just push one, and you can be a part of the show. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial 855-381-8804. If you are on social media, simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. If you want to tweet the show at TTLO Radio, at TTLO Radio. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Ustream, not up right now, but it will be shortly. We're just trying to get something technical worked out over here. But you can watch the show on Ustream, ustream.tv. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you can find us there. Last but not least, iTunes. You want to download the podcast of the show, simply go to our iTunes account, find us on iTunes, do a search under the podcast section, Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you will find us there. You know what? If you open it back up and do the set the troubleshoot, open up the other one. Yep. The one underneath it, yeah. And then disable and enable. See if that'll work. All right. So,
change adapter settings.
Yeah. So anyway, look, this is what I wanted to do. We have a great show. It is Missional Monday. We have a great article, great conversation for you today. What non-Christians really think about Christians. This should be good. This should really be good. It just gives you an idea of a perspective on what other Christians think about us. So that should be good. All right, but look, I wanted to give y'all a little bit of this real quick. Hopefully this plays. I downloaded it this morning. We'll be right. I'm going to let this play. It's about 40 seconds long. So let that play, and then we'll be right back. All right? All right.
Last night, I had a dream. When I got to Africa, I had one hell of a rumble. I had to beat Tarzan's behind first for claiming to be the king in the jungle. For this fight, I've wrestled with alligators. I've tussled with a whale. I done handcuffed lightning and put thunder in jail. You know I'm bad. I have murdered a rock. I injured a stone and I hospitalized a brick. I'm so bad I make medicine sick. I'm so fast, man, I can run through a hurricane and don't get wet. When George Fulmer meets me, he'll pay his debt. I can drown a drink of water and kill a dead tree. Wait till you see Muhammad Ali.
Oh, my God. I had to share that. I believe it was on Saturday we found out that Muhammad Ali had passed away. I believe he was 74 years old. Just email right there. 74 years old. And he had passed away. And I was just wondering, what's your wrong one? What's your yeah, kill that, because now you're finna play something else. The actual Taking the Limits Off email down there. Yeah. What's your earliest recollection of Muhammad Ali? Because I know you, he was before you. I'm older than you, so I actually,
right.
Yeah, he was done by the time you probably knew what boxing was. So.
Yeah, because I guess I didn't really become acquainted with boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Until I think it wasn't even in the heavyweight division. It was around, I think I happened to catch boxing one day, and I think my dad was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a Sugar Ray Leonard. So mm-hmm. whenever that era was, is when I really kind of came in contact with boxing. And then sort of the next big hype that came along was Mike Tyson.
Okay.
But they would always talk about Muhammad Ali and, you know, show the clips and different things like that. So, yeah, I wish I had really gotten a chance to see, you know, the man fight and things like that. So, it was what he did more so both on and off out of the ring, that made him who he was.
Yeah, by the time, change that mic, because I think that mic is screwed up. Change it to just the camera mic. Yeah. That'll work. My earliest remembrance of Ali was, you remember, this might have still been on when you were a kid. Remember Wide World of Sports?
You used to come on Channel 7? Yeah, I remember
that. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was on Saturday mornings, and then it used to come on Sunday. And they would always give us the videos of the Ali fights, and Howard Cosell would always be doing the commentary on the sideline. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I recall was they always showed these old fights, because Wide World of Sports always showed old stuff. And one of the things that I remember from watching it is this was up until he was about to retire. And I remember the fights used to come on because they were in Vegas when they used to put the heavyweight fights on television. Y'all watch this now. I'm going to date myself for free. So CBS had the fight. Channel 2 had the fight. And it was on a Saturday night. And the fight didn't start until about 10:30. That's when, so it was after the news. Now, mind you, I have to look at the date of the Leon Spinks. This was the first Leon Spinks fight.
Okay.
Now, everybody had already said Ali should have been retired by then. So I was like, from watching Wild World of Sports, you know, I had only saw the Ali that from the videos. I'd only saw the, you know, the young cat who was mm-hmm. like ridiculous in the ring. Mm-hmm. So when the live fight came on, I remember watching this, and I'm like, man, you know, he had gotten a little bigger. He was a little heavy. He was a true heavyweight, because he never looked like
a
heavyweight. Like, George Foreman looked like a heavyweight. You know, Larry Holmes looked like Ali looked like he could have been a cruiserweight, you know,
right,
whatever.
Right.
So he's in there fighting a much younger Leon Spinks at the time. And Leon Spinks, I don't know if you all remember Leon Spinks. You know, he had no teeth in the front of him.
Mm-hmm.
not now tooth up in the front. Like his first three, all his uppers.
Gone.
It was all lowercase for that brother. It was all lowercase. And we're sitting there watching. And it's me and my mom. I'm sitting on the edge of my mom's bed. Mind you, it's 10:30. So normally I'm asleep because I couldn't stay woke to save my life. I just never was able to stay woke. And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching this fight, and Leon Spinks is not, you know, Ali is trying to throw jab, and Leon Spinks is like punching like down
over here.
Yeah. And it's messing up my whole understanding. So I'm like screaming at the TV, like, that ain't fair. And at the end of the fight, it came to the judges, and the judges gave the fight to Leon Spinks. And I cried like a baby watching that fight. Me and my mom were sitting there upset. I could not be consoled for nothing. I'm like, they cheated. They cheated. And it was messed up. And then, you know, back then, you know, it didn't take long for a rematch. Might have been about 3 months later, Ali dogged him. Like in 3 months' time, he came back and won every round and beat him. But then ended up losing to, I think, Larry Holmes later on, because he was done. He was done. By the time he fought Larry Holmes, he was done. He only lost 5 fights. He lost to Frazier. I think it was
Foreman.
No, Frazier, Leon Spinks, Trevor Burbick, Larry Holmes, and I want to say it was one more guy. Well, he never lost to Foreman. He beat Foreman because he only fought once.
Right.
Those are the
clips I remember seeing. And
right.
Foreman looked like he whooped him, and they may have just given Ali that one.
No. Remember, Foreman got knocked out. Foreman was winning the fight.
Was that the
That was the rumble in the jungle. Yeah. Yeah. He. Foreman was just Ali wasn't throwing no punches. He was the whole rope a dope, as they say.
Man.
Yeah. It was crazy, man. But I saw that and then I thought about it. But even then I didn't know as a kid the Ali story. And I never read any of the books or anything like that. And it's funny because it's one of those things that for me as a kid, I think that should have been a part of my Black history learning. Because, I mean, I agree. It was not in – it still ain't in the history books. My laptop is on the time, so you have to keep moving that thing. But I just found that to be I was like, wow. So I didn't even know anything about the whole Vietnam deal and him taking, they stripped him of the title, and he was like, he didn't fight for what, almost 3 years?
3 years, yeah.
And that's peak time. And he was at his peak when they stripped him from boxing. Not only they took his title, they took the sport away from him. He couldn't even play. He couldn't even fight. And so, yeah, I do recall that. But, I just thought about that, man. I was like, wow. That and that's what turned me on to boxing. Mm. Yeah, was that whole thing. And I'll never forget, fast forward. So Ali, I remember him lighting the torch in Atlanta for the Olympic Games.
Okay.
He was lighting the torch because remember he had the Parkinson's that really started to kick in. So, you know, he was shaking trying to light the torch and everything. His hands were trembling. But I recall that very, very well. And then I remember, I think it was Larry. I remember Larry Holmes was fighting. No. It was Mike Tyson was fighting Michael Spinks for his first championship, I think. Or it was either to unify the championship or for his first championship. And all I remember was seeing Leon Spinks in the corner and having flashbacks of Muhammad Ali losing. So I started wishing the worst curse on the world on his son, Michael. Like, do it for Ali! Which he in turn did in about 2 rounds. Yeah.
Man.
So, but yeah, man, that's huge though, man. But he man, 74, that's crazy. And then his daughter Layla still ain't never lost a fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. She also was a heavyweight. That was a big girl. Mm. Is, I should say, a big girl. That's a big old girl. Mm. That right hook ain't nothing to play with. So I just thought I would mention that. I saw that came out, I believe it was Saturday night, was when he passed away. So man. Yeah. So how was your weekend, Doc?
Weekend was good.
It was good.
How was yours?
It was all right. I'm trying to think. What was this past weekend? Let's see. Yeah, weekend was good. Saturday, I'm trying to think. Nothing. Okay. Sunday. Yeah, weekend was good though. It was good. Hmm. You know, had church yesterday, you know. Okay. Same old, you know, it was good.
Saturday? Yeah, Saturday went to an honorary ceremony. The missus has been inducted into the International Society for Education because she's working on a doctorate. So she was inducted on Saturday. So.
Well, bless God.
So it was at DePaul University. So
sweet. You know, it was like a banquet or something?
No, it was an actual ceremony. Induction ceremony.
Well, you know me, I'm all about the food.
Wasn't no food.
Wasn't no banquet.
No, it was very formal. The whole routine.
They have formal
signing.
Banquets. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't. It was more of
a, not a glass
just the induction ceremony.
Okay.
Part, no
okay.
Banquet.
That's good.
And so, you know, but afterwards went out and kind of celebrated. So
that's good.
That
so
much.
what's this thing she's inducted into again? I'm sorry. Here you go.
Kappa Phi Day or something like that.
Okay.
It's an honorary society.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's like almost like a National Honor Society thing, but for gotcha. Okay, well that's good, man. That's good. Congrats. yesterday we was good, man. We had it was first Sunday yesterday, so you know it was the first Sunday and everybody was in white.
Man, it's warm in here.
It is warm. I don't know if we want to. I was afraid to crack the window because I didn't know if that was gonna let heat in or what. I was a little nervous.
To keep the little coolness that's here in.
Right. I was a little nervous. So we had yesterday we had our bake sale. Group one, you know, we had different stuff like that. It's just fundraisers. That's my group. Yeah, so we did a bake sale yesterday.
I didn't even get a memo or a flyer.
Wasn't no flyers or nothing. But man, let me tell you about your boy. So you know, they had all these. My mom is an honorary member of Group One because you know she still goes to the
She's a part of the legacy.
Right. She's right.
She's a legacy member.
Hey, her name is on the front of the building out there. So
legacy member. Group number one.
I believe her name on I was going to call it the tombstone on the cornerstone of the building. but anyway, so my mom donated a peach cobbler. nice big old peach cobbler too.
Was it as big as what Henderson was talking about?
The one that she. Oh, that's right, because you weren't. It might have been. I didn't see it when it came in. I'd have to ask. I'd have to ask LaTanya, our new honorary Group One member, because she was down there helping yesterday. But I don't know if Tanya was it as big as the one that my mama brought to the people's at the restaurant. Let me open up this here messaging system here so I can see what's really being said around yonder. Oh, it's right here in front of me. Okay. Was it as open? Was it as big?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the question. I don't know, but it went fairly fast. Fairly quick. It was gone. Priscilla made a couple of pound cake and then German chocolate. The good old German chocolate was down there.
I haven't had a German chocolate.
Really? And then somebody, I should have called and told you something, because somebody brought in somebody made a red velvet. I know how you like the red velvet.
It just depends on who
how it is. Yeah, I don't know.
Was it a baker?
I don't know who made it, to be honest with you. I don't know who made the red.
Those
I still don't
first
know.
Questions that need to come.
Yeah, I don't know who made the red velvet.
Who made
Yeah. I don't know. I'm serious. I don't know who made the red velvet. If Priscilla listening, email us, please let us know who made the red velvet. I don't know. But you know me, I'm silly. Because I judge things by how much are left. By how many items are left over. Now sometimes it can be left over because you made too many, or sometimes it can be left over because it just didn't look appealing or, you know, whatever. Because once you buy it, then you put it back. So yeah. We'll never know, you know.
I'm just a little biased. I just chose not to.
Right. Okay. Tanya said the one she made me was bigger. Okay. So it wasn't as big as the trough of apple pie.
It's a special day, so I got to make sure.
Right. I got to take her pan back because I was told I won't get another nothing.
It was a glass?
No, it was a turkey roaster. Yeah.
Man, that was a lot of cobbler.
Huh?
How long did it take you to finish it?
Huh? We'll say that for another day. When is National... No. Matter of fact, I need to know what today is. Since this is a new segment we need to add to the show while I'm waiting.
Okay.
So anyway, Priscilla made those two cakes, and then Pat Lewis made some something called a butter roll. And I don't know exactly what a butter roll is. I saw it and still don't know what it is. I'm not quite sure what the butter roll was. And then she made some of them cookies, them school cookies she made. Now she can.
Okay.
Now them. Have you had
lunchroom?
Have you had them lunchroom butter cookies yet?
Oh yeah.
My God.
That's all I need about.
Oh, see, you going to work today? You ain't going to work today, are you?
I don't foresee that in
okay.
the
Okay. Well, the only reason I say that is because I believe sister girl, I think Tamala took them the remainder of them. Yep. You may want to ask her yourself. But anyway, so your boy made two cheesecakes. You saw the post, right?
Hold me seven of them cookies. Where you at?
So anyway, your boy made a couple cheesecakes,
mm-hmm.
and they was gone, Doc. Cheesecake gone.
They getting little slices,
or
they're just taking.
No, I had a nine. Well, I need to find out. Do cheesecake pans come in a larger size? Because I only had my cheesecake. The pan that you make it in,
8-inch, 10-inch,
9-inch. It's a 9-inch springform cheesecake pan. So I had two of them. So I made two, and they were able to get 12 slices out of each. So that was 24 slices. That's all you could get, because they wanted to, because they were selling them for. How much were they? $3 a piece.
Okay,
had to be decent. Yeah, nice triangle.
Yeah.
Nice triangle for $3. But man, yeah. Let me just say, somebody had one piece, mm-hmm. and went back and said, "How many you got left?" Cheesecake went with the quickness.
Wow.
Yeah. So I should have made three, but bro only got two pans, so I can't make three. Hard to do. So now I got to make some cheesecakes, period, because I have some special requests in. Like, I just need a cake.
Okay.
So, yeah, I got some requests out. Just forget the bake sale. Just get me a cake.
Wow.
So, yeah. So it's too hot to be baking, though. I want y'all to know that.
It's a little warm.
Bacon is for the winter.
Unless you got AC.
I don't even care.
You can deal with
bruh, it's
that coolness.
Baking is a winter sport.
You don't need no winter. Look, even though your house is warm.
Right. It's a winter sport. Hey, when you're baking, you can cut the heat down. So you can. When you bake it, you can cut the heat down in the house because that oven being on 350 will warm up to take care of everything.
Wow.
Oh, God. Okay.
Wow.
But it was good. So we had that was yesterday, and pretty much that was about it.
Now, this is after church?
Right after service. We had 5 people baptized yesterday, man. 5.
Bless the Lord.
Yeah, 5 people. My 2 cousins got baptized, David and James. They got baptized yesterday, and then 3 other people. Carrie's oldest son, remember Carrie Jackson singing the choir?
Uh-huh.
Her oldest son got baptized.
Wow.
I believe it was for the second time, but I'm going to let that go. But he got baptized, and then...
to God to be the glory.
And then we had 2 other people who got baptized. But it was good. It was a good service. And that was it. So where were you? What did you preach on yesterday? Where you still in? No, you told me you guys put Acts to the side for a hot minute.
Yeah. So yesterday, it's funny because I got a phone call coming in. It was like, I just wanted to call you and tell you, service was amazing.
Uh-oh, well, bless God.
I preached a little bit yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, I came out of the shell.
Oh, you allowed them.
But we... I dove into Psalms 100.
Ah, okay.
And so, and start talking about your pre-praise, your mid-praise, and then your post-praise.
Yeah, I saw your post yesterday. So. I figured that had something to do with it, but then you didn't, the link that you put up there, was that a fake?
I don't know how that came.
That was
it was weird, so I deleted it.
Okay.
I was like, how is a PR point? And then it took you to
trying to follow.
That's weird. So, but I had a whole post as it related to what I was actually talking about yesterday. And so I was like, no, I'll hold it. I just screenshotted and just kind of threw that out there to say, hey, what kind of, are you a pre, mid, or post praiser?
You know,
and for some people, for us, we should be all.
Mm-hmm,
so in all situations, but if you are already a pre-existing praiser, no matter what situation you find yourself in, you shift to whatever that situation is.
Absolutely.
And still render the praise that
Absolutely.
You've always been giving.
Absolutely.
Prior to. So I love how David gives the illustration that he came with this attitude of praise before he even got to the house of God.
Yeah.
So he had a pre-praise in his mouth already. So.
Yeah, it's pre, mid, and post. I think about when I think about the mid praise, I think about Paul and Silas.
Oh yeah.
And what's so interesting? I love the fact that when they were in prison, they did not pray for release. I love
sure
the. I love the fact. If you don't believe me, read it. Pull the scripture. Paul, the whole one. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto God, and then immediately the earth, all. They never prayed for freedom because in their souls were free already.
Yes, sir.
The only thing that was being held was their bodies, and then they recognized, well, this body don't belong to me. No way.
No way.
So I'm good with where I am.
Yes, sir. And no matter where I find myself,
come on now,
I still render God His praise.
Come on,
that's due to Him.
Come on,
I'm not affected by external circumstances.
Yes,
but I'm always affected by who is always present in my right now.
Come
that's
on,
God.
Come on.
So and it was a part in there where I didn't even really get a chance to go, and I almost want to go that way next week, but I think I'll probably be in St. Louis at a replant conference, but to talk about how because we are pre-existing or pre-prepared praisers, we often see that where we find that best example is in Genesis, that when God created you, He put a praise on top of you.
Come on.
He
Come
said
on.
All that He created was good. That's a praise.
That is a praise now.
So
we
learn how to praise from the praiser Himself.
Help us. Help us.
Like, my God.
Help us.
I said, man, the man who put praise on you, he blessed you with a praise. And so now we turn around and we bless our creator who blessed us with a praise. We bless him back with a praise. It's a part of who we are. That's why I said praise is not just what we do. it's who we are too.
Mm.
And so, and I think sometimes we forget about that because people are going through stuff and they're having to struggle with things that are happening in their lives. And so sometimes we just need to remember that the person who praised us for being his creation has already put a praise in us no matter what we go through. And I said, the person who we don't often look at, I said, David is the best praise and worship leader in the Bible.
Come on, somebody.
He is the person that always calls the congregation to come before the Lord with an attitude of gratitude.
Watch this, though. With Paul and Silas, their praise led to conversion.
Yes, sir.
See, when your praise leads some folk to conversion,
Now you're
moving into a different level.
Yes, sir.
Come on now. In Acts 16. Let me get it right here. I like that part of the Fred Hammond song. Acts chapter 16 and verse 35. But right there, it says Acts chapter 24, actually. Acts chapter 16. Here we go. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. Now let me skip on down. Verse 27 says, and the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself because he thought, I'm going to paraphrase, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. Verse 28, Paul said with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Watch this. And then he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And watch this, and your whole house.
And your whole house.
And they spake him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. My God. now you talk about a praise. Watch this. He got saved and then took them to his house. But he first washed their stripes. Mm. Mind you, he probably was one of the ones that had just got through whooping on them. Before they were, because they were given some stripes before they were thrown into the prison. Mm-hmm. So he washed the prison guard. That'll hit some of y'all later.
it's amazing that when people see that you are going through something and you still got a praise on your lips.
Come on.
Oftentimes it causes people to wonder, who is this God that you serve so much that you're not concerned about what you're going through? You're ultimately praising God based off of who he is. You know, and that's just sort of the start of your praise.
Come on.
Now when we start to elevate our praise,
we
get into a place where we start thanking God for what he's done.
Yes.
See, we often start with what he's done. We don't often start with him just being our creator alone.
Come on now.
So we start working ourselves from thank you from being our God. As David said, he says, look here. He says, you are our God.
Mm-hmm.
And we are your creation. We are your people.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, look, we ought to offer you the thanks and the praises. Offer that alone.
Yes.
You know, and so when we move from, you know, just from who he is, acknowledging who he is, and then giving him accolades, as David said, we bless the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we start giving God praises for what he's done and for who he is in our life. And moving from that part is just thanking God for some stuff that we don't see.
Mm-hmm.
But he's promised and we're walking towards it. You know, that's amazing, because now I have a clear hold on what faith teaches me.
Mm.
I said that, you know, there is a part of your praise that's just based on what your faith is.
Come on.
And so now you cannot begin to walk in your faith because your praise has been shut up. And your praise is shut up simply because you've allowed what you see externally to affect what God has put in you eternally.
Come on now. You know, teach that thing.
Man, we had an amazing time yesterday, and I think it was for some people they really had their breakthrough moment, and you know, it encouraged some people, and you know, hey, listen, look, you need to just thank God in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the pre-praises. You thank God in advance. you know, whatever God said to you, you got to tell the Lord, hey, I'm holding to your promise. And I said, looking for some of us, guess what? If God don't do it, we need to take the approach of the three Hebrew boys. That if even if God does not do it, listen, we still won't bow down to your image. And so with that, man, we just have to understand that that God created us as praisers. And I think that once we get through the stages of our praise from him to what he's done in our life and to what he is going to do, I think that's enough to really get us through what we're faced with, what we're going through. And then sometimes when you feel alone and you don't feel like there's nobody else to help lift your spirits up, we ought to look at David's example when he said, when there was nobody else to encourage me, I had to encourage myself.
Yeah, God.
You know,
come
and so
now.
Sometimes I told him, sometimes you got to speak to yourself what God has been speaking to you all along.
Mm.
I am a child of God. I am the righteousness of God. I am a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror. I'm a victorious winner in the body of Christ. And so look, man, when we start taking that approach and we start remembering God's word to encourage us and what our walk is. And I said, you know, oftentimes we, and I pointed out to them too, I said, guess what? The real reality is that righteousness suffers with evil. And so I said, there's nowhere in the Bible that even while some did what God told them to do, God still didn't separate them, because when one went into slavery, they all went into slavery.
Now that's the truth. That's the truth.
I said, now watch this thing. I said, look, when God was using Jeremiah and they had the three Hebrew boys and they had Daniel, they were all taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians. And what happened was God allowed Jeremiah to stay around to see the rubble of what happened from war. And this is how the book of Lamentations is birthed. But do you know that even the righteous Daniel and the three Hebrew boys were still taken into slavery?
Come on.
They're not going to tell you about
Come
that.
On.
See, we often
Come
don't
on.
Believe that the righteous should suffer in this evil and lost world. But the truth of the matter is that God is coming back. When he does come back, that's when he'll do the separating, the wheat from the tares. But right now, since we are in this world, we got to continue to praise God no matter what's happening, no matter what we're going through. Because, look, there is a reward in your suffering for Christ. And so you need to know that. You need to continue to stand for him, to stand for all that God stands for. And so when times get hard, man, you got to move some people out of the way, out of your ear, and tell them, listen, you don't understand why I'm praising God the way I am, because you haven't been through what I've been through.
Come on now.
So when you get there, or you've experienced something, or when God comes to you and help you to realize the stuff that he's brought you through, then your praise might turn out to be radical.
My. Yes, sir. Look, I know it's Missional Monday, but, you know, every now and then, sometimes you just got to praise anyway. We just had Praise Break Friday. And speaking of, man, one more time, big shout out to Sister Donna Renee Patrick, once again for Friday, man. She sure blessed us, and y'all don't know, she blessed us about 30 more minutes after we went off the air.
Yes, sir.
She blessed us about 30 more minutes after the show was over, man.
Yes,
it was absolutely it was powerful. It was powerful to hear a woman of God who it's not there's no pretense about it. I meant to tease her. I will next time I get on here. The Christians, the super Christians, they don't say humble. They say humble.
They say humble.
They take the H.
Yeah, I didn't want to make fun of that either. I was just like, okay.
I was going to get it. You
humble.
Know me. You know, I don't have no qualms.
Humble.
She was like, I'm humbled.
Humbled. I said, my God, you can get back. Great time, great advice.
Man. She was absolutely amazing. And her books, I'm going to tell y'all right now, that them two books, At All Times and In His Praise, those two books right there, if y'all thought I was talking about the Bob Sorge book that we were doing, it gets real technical. So it is good. It is good. I feel like I'm in a tunnel or something. But it's real technical. But her book is like there's a lot of, you could tell it was written from a personal standpoint.
Yeah.
But it's personal enough where it's personal for you. It makes it very personal for you. So it's good stuff, man. I enjoyed that thing. So I'm still reading both books like I'm retarded at the same time.
I know the feeling, Doc. I'm in three. I'm about to close out one. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I absolutely love that. Something that she said. She said education is so important, which we somehow neglect sometimes. And I think it is the pre-education of stuff that really gets things off the ground. You know, it's like starting a new business. You would be in a lot of trouble if you didn't do your research ahead of time.
Ain't that a scripture, though? Ain't that a scripture about the man who builds his house on the, you know, without checking the foundation, builds his house on the sand? Yeah, if you don't check the foundation, then it's going to look good, but let the right wind come.
Yeah. I love that piece because Christ was saying, look, they who take heed to this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I love that. That tells us that. He often is telling us that, hey, look, storms will come because that's the illustration. But if you built in me, you're rock solid. Mm-hmm. And so whenever something happens to you, he said, the house won't fall.
Mm-hmm.
How could it fall? Because here's why it won't fall. Because God said this, his words will never fall to the ground.
Come on now.
And so because you're built in his word, you can never fall to the ground.
Yeah.
I love it, man. I love it. I absolutely love it.
I think it's often it's not talked about enough. That's why we have so many people who are so easily swayed from church.
Okay.
Because their foundation of their faith was not built properly.
Mm.
They weren't built. You know what I'm saying? They because think about this. And I thought about this yesterday while I was with kids. It was about three. I think three kids, I call them babies, but they're not babies, but three babies got baptized yesterday.
Okay.
And I often wonder about the whole baptism process. I know
three babies were baptized?
They weren't babies. They were, you know, one was a teenager, then they were like 9, 10. You know, I still consider them babies. That's in my head. This is my thing. And I know a lot of people say, you know, they were baptized at 10 and you know, they knew the Lord and all this. And that, I'm not knocking it. I'm not saying it's not. Right, exactly. See, he's shaking his head. However, I think when we baptize children in that matter without training first.
Mm-hmm. Say that.
Without proper context, without proper direction and instruction, we set them up for failure.
Oh boy.
Because even though we baptize them and they come up out the water, all of a sudden thinking, "Ooh, now I'm on my way, you know, to something." That's a starting point. But I just think that so many of us were baptized at a young. I think about myself. I think I was 10.
Mm-hmm.
Now I made the choice. My mother didn't make me go down the aisle. They wanted me to go months and two years before I actually went. But I went when I was ready. I got up and walked from the back because I was on the back row sitting back there because my mom was an usher. I got up and walked from and the whole thing is that whole walk process. You know that. I'm not a big fan of the walk. I'm really not.
Nobody is.
I mean, especially in this church. You know how big this church is. I am not a fan of the walk at all, especially when you're a little kid. Now, you imagine an adult, you already got some, you know, some kind of feeling about it, but you 10, Doc, you 8.
I think you can care a little less as being a kid. I think adults are probably a lot more conscious.
Seriously. Nah. Dude, I walk down the aisle like.
Everybody watching.
Right. So, you know, you walk got your head down.
And like, my friend went up there, whatever.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I think that we don't stress enough, you know. Okay, a kid that is like 8 or 9 comes and say, hey, they hear the invitation.
Right.
And you have to make sure that they heard the invitation, not watch other people join the church.
Come on.
And so the way that I believe that you do that is that there should be a process when people are taken in the back,
yep.
and there's a one-on-one conversation
yep.
to ask people, do they really understand this next step that they're about to take?
Exactly.
And so, you know, yeah, if a kid can clearly say to you,
that's right.
You know, I realize that Christ is my Lord and my Savior. This
mm-hmm.
is out without being coerced
yeah.
into saying stuff
yeah.
that these kids have absolutely no knowledge of.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is,
mm-hmm.
because it's not sincere,
mm-hmm.
it's not from the heart,
mm-hmm.
there isn't total repentance. And I think that's the part that we miss, because somebody comes and say, yeah, you know, I'm a sinner. And then we automatically, here's the crazy part, we automatically be like, because they walk the aisle, you know, they've given their life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why most churches don't baptize people until a period of instructions are completed.
Come on, talk about it.
And I think that it is so important that some people, they have absolutely no idea, even though the preacher gave the call, and, you know, we see it in the book of Acts. These were grown men who were knowledgeable,
mm-hmm.
first and foremost,
mm-hmm.
of who Christ was.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was ministering to them from a place that they understood.
Yes. Yes.
It's hard for kids to understand stuff that's coming across the pulpit
mm-hmm.
from theologians. Let's just put it out there.
Now, let me say this. I 100% agree with you, but let me play devil's advocate.
Go ahead.
Because I'm pretty good at that sometimes. What do you say about the people who believe that you would be deterring them if you say, no, we're not going to baptize you because it's a kid? What do you say to the people who say, well, you telling them that they can't be baptized, aren't you then turning them away? Because here's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Then they'll go to the River Jordan with Jesus and say, okay, well, Jesus was baptizing folk, and where Paul was, did they have instruction before, or did they just say, I want to know who this Christ is, and I want to, and this is what I need to do to get to know him. This is step one or whatever.
I would say this, is that you want to make sure that people understand the process,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so you're not telling the kid, well, I'm turning you away. But what you're saying is that we want to make sure that you totally understand what you are committing yourself to.
Mm-hmm.
A lifelong
okay.
commitment to being a follower of Christ,
mm-hmm.
right? And so if ask a kid, well, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who is Christ?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and if they can't really answer those questions,
mm-hmm.
I just think that it's safer that way.
What do you think about if they went ahead and did the baptism, but then they followed it up with the same instruction, with the instruction that you would give beforehand?
Mm-hmm.
Would that suffice?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that, but to
not have it at all is a problem.
Yeah. you know what usually winds up happening,
yeah, they get,
especially if there's even if sometimes if there's still a system in place where people have periods of instructions after they're baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Now ask me how many of them come to the period of instruction.
Yeah, because in actuality, that's you've given me the diploma and I ain't had to do no work.
And so I think the method is great to have it in place,
mm-hmm.
but isn't it more it works better when – so – Peter is ministering to the Jewish
yeah.
community.
Yeah.
And so he's ministering to people who already knew God's word.
Mm-hmm.
That's different.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about unbelievers, people who don't know nothing about God, who, you know, who sit, they're being, as we would say, here's what we think that the word is doing as the preacher is ministering.
Mm-hmm.
They're being convicted in their hearts, not condemned, but they're
mm-hmm.
being convicted about the truth of God's word concerning their own life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so there used to be a time where people would actually they would put the mic up to their mouth.
Yep.
And they would say, which they had them repeat, you know, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior?
Mm-hmm.
And the kid or the person or whatever, they say, yes, I do. Do you believe that he died and rose again?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do. Oh, OK. Upon this confession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not even a real confession.
That's not, because
yeah.
it needs to come out of the mouth of a person without you telling them.
Yeah.
You know, so, and this is, here's the part of the reason why this is true. When you ask certain people, what is your conversion story?
Ooh, my God.
What is your testimony?
My God.
Most people don't have one.
My God.
Because they've never been delivered for nothing.
What if you ask this question instead? Why did you walk down the aisle? That's the question. Instead of, you know, do you believe God died on the cross? Do you believe that he on the third day he got up? Do you believe he's coming back? Instead of asking them three questions, how about you ask, what made you come down the aisle today? Because this is the answer that you just might get. I came to join church.
Yep. Well, everybody else joined.
Okay. So, but what makes you want to join church? So now, because the, now here's the problem with that. That's a conversation that you're having in front of the whole congregation, and you shouldn't have to. You shouldn't do that. That's why I completely agree with you about the whole in the back rooms scenario.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know what? Hey, I saw you walk down the aisle. That's wonderful. And then I think you can do that. That's why I like at some churches when people join. Like I know at Apostolic Brazier's Church.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, they get people joining all the time, and they get like 7, 8, 9, 10, you know.
Yeah.
It ain't nothing for them to get 20 people.
Yeah.
They don't go up there and ask no bunch of questions. When those people join, thank you so much. Y'all follow sister so-and-so to the back, and they get all your information in the back. They're not introduced.
Yep.
They're not. No. None of that stuff is done. And you know why? Because they want to know who these people are on a one-on-one level before they do anything else.
Mm-hmm. And it's a, like I said, it's a great time to turn around and provide people with the necessary information as to the next step. Now, we've been talking about this a lot. And so right there, it's, you know, when the invitation is given, you'll come forward. And I like it how some preachers have turned around and did it like this. This is their pre-introduction, even before their sermon goes for, you know, so there's going to be three sort of appeals given.
Mm-hmm.
One is for, you know, somebody who is a non-Christian. The
mm-hmm.
other one is for someone who has given their life to Christ but has never been churched. So
mm-hmm.
you're more of an unchurched individual. And then we want to, the last appeal is to the backslider.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to get you back into the house of God. And so, you know, whenever these three appeals come forth, if one of those speak to you, come
mm-hmm.
forward,
mm-hmm.
you know, we'll have you come to the front, and
mm-hmm.
then you'll follow the person who will quickly direct you to the back room
mm-hmm.
for further
instruction. That's right.
And I think at that point,
yeah,
if people are not willing to read
mm-hmm.
and understand what their next step is, so next step is baptism.
Mm-hmm.
What happens before baptism where you can help people better understand what they're really about to do?
Mm-hmm.
I think that you have material in place. I think that you have class in place. And this is leading up to there because baptism is maybe a month later, or it could be a week later.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that because you can create some basic material and you can do some one-on-one coaching, even if it's a call to those people who are going to be baptized
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, look, we need you on the line. We're going to go over this material. You know, I want to get feedback from you
mm-hmm.
to hear if you totally understand what you're getting yourself into.
Absolutely.
Now we can move forward and we can go in baptism. And then the thing too is you have to tell them, now your next step after baptism is this.
Yeah.
You got to get, we automatically, like with the way we're trying to set it up now, and our system is that when you automatically join the church, you're already added to a gender group, male, female, or children.
Okay.
Or category.
Yeah.
And so with that, you know, you're put in a group
mm-hmm.
and with that group, you learn to grow with that particular group. If you're a kid, if
mm-hmm.
you're an adult, male or female, these are monthly fellowships.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so what we do here in these monthly fellowships are designed to help disciple. The people who are in these group circles, they help you during
mm-hmm.
your walk and your process. It's not just, you know, we just kind of sign up and we're just here and it's a social club.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a pure mission, and our mission is to disciple each other and to go and disciple others.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't set that sort of precedence for these groups that you have,
mm-hmm.
the question becomes, what are we doing outside of what God has called us to do?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not sure what's going on over there.
The timer is working.
The screen.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Something special is going on. Yeah, I'm not sure because it froze everything over here. I'm not sure about Ustream. But anyway, man.
I would say that too, you know, and like to each his own. But you got a person baptized, but they ain't never been back to church.
Ooh.
Did you let them slip through the crack?
Mm.
Because to me, it tells me that they really didn't understand what they were doing. And then who did you assign to that person if they did take a sabbatical from church?
Yeah. Because, see, it's easy. Because I even think I would go so far as to say, you know, it's one thing to put people in a group. You know, say, you're assigned to group one, you're assigned to group two, you're assigned to whatever. But then in your group, if they were assigned to in your group and you were in group two, okay, whose turn is it in group two to be responsible for somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody in your group might not be competent enough.
That is true.
And that's no slight.
Right.
But I'm just saying, everybody in your group might not be competent enough to be able to mentor a new Christian.
Based on spiritual maturity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So now you would say, okay, you pick out four or five people in your group. If you could, maybe find three good ones. Let me just keep it that. Let me keep it easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Find three good ones and say, okay, brother so-and-so, Devon, this is your week. We have somebody join. I'm going to assign brother so-and-so and his family because, you know, sometimes you get a whole family. All of them.
Mm-hmm.
You responsible that you are their contact. You are their liaison with the church.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to make sure that they get their growth spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
But your job in this, your function as a member, we're going to talk about membership. Your function as a member is to keep the lines of communication open.
Yeah. So you do what we call that side-by-side discipling.
Yep.
See, and because your discipling may not be the teaching part.
Exactly.
It may not be the teaching part in front of a platform,
yep.
But you're teaching them through your life.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And you're mentoring them through that. They're watching your examples, and you're kind of getting to know them through conversation,
right?
Through gatherings. And so, yeah, man, I think that's a great idea.
It helps because now the onus of membership is put back on the members. Not just the pastor or this committee or that committee. Now it's like, okay, so now when you go and say, okay, we had, 20 people join church last year that were assigned to group two.
Okay.
Group two, you ought to be able to get up and give us a report. Now at the church meeting.
Oh, yeah.
At the church meeting, see, now, not the business meeting, not the business meeting.
No. Church meeting.
The church meeting.
Yeah.
Now you can say, group two, we took in X amount of members.
Yeah.
We've been able to keep up with 18.
Mm-hmm.
The other two really didn't have the time or were not committed, which is why they're not here. At least there's an explanation as to what happened versus at the end of the year, as a church, we took in 125 people and we only see four of them and don't nobody know where the rest of them at. Well, they was assigned to group one.
That is wow.
I'm just saying. I just threw the number out there.
That is an F on the report card to me.
That's an F.
Because remember,
at
the meeting,
incomplete.
F plus. So remember, at the meeting, nobody is able to stand up and give an account for why or as to what happened to the people.
Right. Right.
Sounds like an F to me because, you know. It all goes back to what Christ said, and I think that we need to look at this parable beyond money.
Mm.
Can we look at this beyond money?
Talk about it.
When he talked about, he says, look, if I gave you something, this is God saying, I put something in your hand to manage it and to multiply it. Mm. If you took what I gave you and you didn't do anything with it, you lose it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to look at that the same way as we look at it with money, with people, with your house, your car, blah, blah, blah. If you take care of it, if you manage it well, God said that ultimately he would turn around and he would multiply it.
Mm-hmm.
That is a principle that God put forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so now think about it. God gave you this sort of under shepherd to take care of a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave you 10 people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you turned around and then another 20 people showed up. They gave their life to Christ. But then what turned around and happened was we still at the end of that year, we started with 10, 20 gave their life to Christ, but we only got one out of the 20.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And there is nobody as we stand up before the church because the church itself.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about the building, y'all.
Mm-hmm, come on.
I'm talking about the body of believers, the bride of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When they stand up, everybody should be concerned that we lost 20 people. And say, well, we can't just look at the pastor. Mm-hmm. Everybody in the room should be like this. We got to do better.
Mm. Instead
not,
of
not him.
Instead of we lost 20 people. Well, who are they? See, the people, the first ones to holler, who are they? We know you don't talk to nobody. Well, who are they? What 20 people? Exactly. So that means you go sit over in the corner. Because, see, that's what happens. Well, what 20? Well, where'd they go? You don't know? Because you are just as culpable as I am, ma'am. So,
man, that is true. Like, well, who are these people?
You know, that's the first thing to happen. Well, who are they?
So I think that when you have a situation like that, somebody has to be assigned to new members and do their job.
Yeah.
If you are not doing your job as keeping up with new members, first and foremost, that may have not even been your position, but somebody put you in it. And so I'm telling you right now, Epic Fail is on its way. It's on its way because we strategically try to put people where God is not ordained for them to be. Well, you'll find out later. So, but you find somebody. So when I think of let's call that person, I don't know, the membership director, right? We give you the little title, membership director, and say, hey, look, you I would go as so far, I wouldn't even say director. Here was what I would call you. I would call you the minister of membership. The minister of membership. And so your job and your duty is to make sure that everybody that comes in, we're not worried about the clerk. Her job is more on the business
side
of things.
That's right.
But you as the ministry of membership, it is your job to find ways and resources that the church currently has to get people plugged in.
Yep.
And you make sure that because you know the people that are in your church, it is your job to say, hey, listen, I know that you have this gift and this talent. Can you work with this group?
Because you want to talk about an epic fail? You baptize 10, let's say you baptize 10 people on Sunday. The following Sunday, 3 out of the 10 are at church. And you don't have a clue as to where the other 7 are or what goes on. Because, see, immediately after baptism, somebody somewhere should have been, that person should have been given a phone number, a name, maybe possibly even ask this question. You got a way to church? You got a way to, because see, people get a ride.
All of that should be in your form.
People get a,
all of that should be.
That should be on that form that you fill out when you
join. Your membership form. Your name, your address,
and
how did you hear about us?
Do you have a way to get to church? Because that question right there, see, that's not a question you can ask somebody when they applying for a job. But when they come to your church house, I think you should ask people, do you have a way to church? Because we do have a van. We do have transportation. Or we could, or you may live next to a member who's close by who can pick you up on Sunday.
It's a way that we turn around and we're able to serve the members of the church.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, even with that, I think that we really need to kind of get out of the box with certain things and start, when we name it something, it needs to be strategic. It needs to be just that. So if it's missions, I think that mission is not just local, but I believe that it is on a state level, and I think that it is global.
Okay.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And so when we say that, so now when I look at that, look, we may not have the resources to go send somebody out of our church to do global work, but we can connect with somebody who's already doing it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
You can become a supporter.
Right.
So, I mean, there's so many ways when we start thinking out of the box. So that's your thing. So don't name yourself, you know, Project Central.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and there's no projects being done in the community on Central. We got to take that title down. But I think if you specify it that way, when people join your church, now this is on your membership form, on your membership form, it says that after baptism, you know, pick your next step and what you would like to do that gets you involved in community activities.
Yeah, yeah.
Community, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't know. That's just me. It's just not for everybody. I'm
no,
just
it's
simply
not. But it makes a lot of sense. It cuts out a lot of I even think you could go so far as to ask people what if they had a particular ministry, even if you don't put them in the ministry. I'm not saying you assign them to the ministry.
Right.
But get an idea of where they believe their ministry is.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody could say, well, you know, I think about singing in the choir. And it's like, okay, that's why you need, you know, choir auditions. Or somebody could say, you know, I wanted to be on the usher board. Okay, but let me see how hospitable you are before I let you be the first people that my people meet.
Right.
You
right.
know, or hospitality or whatever. You ask them so that you know. Then your membership administrator or minister of membership, whatever
yeah.
you want to call that person, sits back and they go and they say, okay, this person has this particular interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm gonna get you with these particular people, and I'm
yeah.
gonna let them. We're going to hash that out after you've completed
exactly.
your sessions of new membership training.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you see how it's progressing. They're
mm-hmm.
never at the same place
yes.
that they began.
Yes.
So you go from, you know, accepting the Lord
yes.
to going through what is called a period of instruction,
yes.
baptism, and then we talk about our next step. What interests you? What,
mm-hmm.
you know, ministries do we have in the church
mm-hmm.
that you're interested in?
Yep.
And then, you know, finding a way. And I believe one-on-one interviews are important.
They absolutely
You have
are.
To be able to find out what interests, you know, what drew you to this place, what will keep you in this place, and how do you plan to help this or this ministry or this organization move forward.
You know what I was thinking about? And I thought about this because we were talking about how, in you know, we had this discussion a lot about how in large churches it's hard for a senior pastor to meet with all of his people, you know,
mm-hmm.
in large. And when I say large, I'm talking congregations of
10,000 and all
well,
that.
I ain't even going that high. I'm talking about if you had a congregation of a steady crowd of 500 people.
Okay.
That's a lot for one.
Yeah. It'll take a while.
For one person. But what if that pastor said, I have my staff in place to handle my church people that are already here.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to make it an effort to make sure that my new people.
Mm.
So now when those five or six people join,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're going to get to know who I am as a pastor.
Mm.
Now, once they're in, then they go into the flock with everybody else.
Yeah.
But I'm going to make sure that I have time allotted for those new people who come in.
For introduction.
For
that's
introduction.
Being who I am.
Right. For me and what you know, what we do here, what God's vision, what vision God gave me for the church
mm-hmm.
and everything else. So that's just something that I think is necessary that we do. But anyway, as I stated, we're gonna let the our producer is about to chime in here. She has some information for us, I believe.
Madam. Oh, I don't have your what food day it is. And give me one more minute for that. But I was
okay.
listening to what she said about the 500 people in the church and the pastor not being able to,
mm-hmm.
Not know everyone. I think that's I think it's possible. Because I tell you, if anyone knows, our assistant principal, he knows all 435 students by name. Does he know the problems they're going through? No. But he groups them all by their name.
Mm.
So it's definitely possible when you put your mind, you know, to it, to know somebody.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
that's true integrity. That's true compassion for somebody to know who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just will take a little bit more time because of the way church is structured,
and,
the hours of
exactly,
availability.
Because you only see these
yeah.
people
so
on Sunday
a little bit more
and
time.
Maybe Wednesday
yeah.
versus somebody seeing them every
yeah.
day. But
yeah.
I do agree.
Yeah,
that's
I think it's possible with that 500. Now, when we start talking about 3,000, 4,000, go ahead.
He doesn't see them every day. He literally greets them. He's a greeter at the door on his designated day. So just like a pastor, that's what I'm looking like. That's not possible. You just like, you know, I'm just saying it's not impossible. Because he mm-hmm. greets them on his designated greeting day, and he knows those students.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not like he does it every day. So, like, you know, he just like a pastor, he almost doing it every Sunday. He knows 435 students.
Wow. But kudos to him.
Yeah, that's it.
I ain't going to know your name. Hey, you.
I do take the approach of Dr. Vernon. He said that they shake hands and they hug everybody that comes through the doors.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is necessary as being a pastor who is reachable, who's touchable.
Yeah.
And so people can say, hey, look, you know, the pastor is not
you know, on this high pedestal to the point where I never even know who he is. I only see him on Sundays, you know. And so I think that, you know, people, but you know what? We kind of come to find out that everybody is not a people's person at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you are a pastor, some people, they're just not people. Sort of people, and like, so there's this great distance between them because they're just not personable like that.
But then I think you're in the wrong line of work.
Yeah,
I think you're in the wrong line of work.
Yeah.
I seriously, you can't beat. I mean, that's just like saying. And thank you, LaTanya. That's just like saying, you know, you're not a people person, but you want to be a waitress. You want to.
So there's a level of toleration
right.
there.
Yeah, and that,
but
and
that only goes so far, right?
Your tip's gonna be short because it's gonna find out.
Man.
And pastor, your love offering.
You better not set that love offering up.
Ain't I'm gonna tell you right now, if you're not personable, and you're not compassionate, and you're not accessible to people, I don't care how much celebration you want to do. And I'm saying this from the bottom of my heart. At your pastor's anniversary, you're going to know just how much your people in your church love you.
Wow.
Because if you have more guests than you do members,
man, that's a tough one.
Then that should tell you the level of love that the people that you pastor have for you. That's not a slight. That's not me being funny. I am just speaking real because here's the deal. If you were having a celebration and you were somebody that I looked up to or I cared for or whatever,
mm-hmm.
if it's in my power, I'm going to be there.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'll give you a very good example. I really, really wanted to come to your installation.
Okay.
But we couldn't come because we had already missed so many weeks that we had already bowled our limited temper. We had already missed so many weeks of bowling where we had makeup games.
Right.
We didn't have any more.
Mm-hmm.
So if we had not came, we would have had to forfeit. So
and I think it was like tournament.
It was. Sports. It was right before playoff time.
Yeah.
So that we could not, because me and Pat and Tyra, everybody was like, man, we trying to go to, you know. And, so, and it was like, on a Saturday? Like,
man.
Yeah, that's when it is. But I told him, you know, you had restraints at the church.
Yeah.
You know, couldn't do no afternoon program.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but that's the thing. But then there are times where people have stuff and my schedule could be wide open. I ain't going. I'm just, because, again, it shows your compassion shows with your people. It's recognizable.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, y'all. So let's move on before we get to this article. So, you know, last week on Friday, it was National Donut Day.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So our producer, because she knows all things food, has decided that every day she's going to give us the national day
for
whatever the particular food is.
Okay.
We get. I'm being told that today it is National Gingerbread Day.
Done. Done.
I'm good. I'll be passing on the National Gingerbread Day. Nah, no,
what's
next? We don't care that you're serious. No, we don't.
Look, what's next? You know, you hit the forward on the playlist.
Right. Can we skip, like, on iTunes or Spotify or Pandora? Can we skip to the next song? Can I get the premium membership so we can skip?
Wow.
Right. What's gingerbread.
Have you ever had some gingerbread cookies or?
I think I had gingerbread cookie before, and I don't know if I liked it or not. And I obviously don't because I've never tried to get another one.
Gingery.
That is. He just made up a new word, y'all. Gingery.
You heard it here first.
I don't know nothing about it.
do you use any ginger when you're making a dish or anything
that? No, I don't. No, okay. Ginger in a dish? What does ginger go in?
I know they use it a lot of times, like if they're baking or just like certain things.
Because you
could take it in.
Because it's really strong.
Yeah.
It's really strong. It's like cinnamon. It's really strong.
Mm-hmm. So you only really need a hint of it, though.
Ginger.
What are they using ginger for?
Wednesday, I'm being told it's National Jellyfield Donut Day.
No.
I'm going to pass on that one, too, because I don't like the jelly. I'm not a fan of that one either. So we go.
Jelly who?
You can, Jellyfield Donut. You know, the kind with the.
With the filling in
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I've never
See,
been a fan.
No. You just messed the donut up.
I think I was scarred as a kid. Somebody was passing out donuts, and I bit down into it, and I'm like, ooh, this looks good. And I bit into it, and some substance squirted out in my mouth and just messed up my whole.
It's like, what is this in here?
Yeah, I'm not down for that. Yes, sorry. I'll say that for y'all who likes jelly field. Let me move on.
Ginger meat.
Anyway, we got this good article, y'all. It's not that long, so we should be able to get through it. It is really good. What non-Christians really think about. What non-Christians really think about. Let me make sure I haven't missed anything in the email section over here. Let me get email. Okay, good. I didn't miss nobody. What non-Christians really think about Christians. What non-Christians really think about Christians. So this is an article that's written from a standpoint of what non-Christians really think about Christians and some questions they may have. So this is by Tom Rainer. You guys know Tom Rainer, TomRainer.com. Does all types of Christian, has his own blog site and everything. The writer says, one of my greatest joys in research is talking to and listening to those who clearly identify themselves as non-Christians. Don't get me wrong, I'm not celebrating their absence of faith in Christ, he says, but my joy comes from listening to those who don't believe as I do, so I might be better equipped to witness to them. Over the past several years, my research teams and I have interviewed thousands of unchurched non-Christians. Among the more interesting insights I gleaned were those where the interviews shared with me their perspectives of Christians. In this article, I grouped the seven most common types of comments in order of frequency. I then followed that representative statement with a direct quote from a non-Christian. Read these comments and see if you learn something of the lessons I learned. Number one, Christians are against more things than they are for. he says, it just seems to me Christians are mad at the world and mad at each other. They are so negative, they seem unhappy. I have no desire to be like them and stay upset all the time. Oh, my God.
Wow.
And again, this is from a perspective of someone who is unchurched.
Non-Christian.
And
yep.
They see you. See, they see you always with a frown on your face. You always mad. You always got a complaint. But you talk about how much you love the Lord. Ah.
You love him as long as it's going right.
I told y'all. It's been said. I don't know how many times it's been said with frequency. Sometimes the only Bible people will read is you.
I know it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. They are so negative, and they seem unhappy. Again, they don't know that you're unhappy, but your appearance, your perception is you're always unhappy.
Woe is me.
Christian, though, and you serve a mighty God.
And I'm pulling the mic.
My goodness.
No comment.
Man. Number two, I would like to develop a friendship with a Christian. I'm really interested in what they believe and how they carry out their beliefs. I wish I could find a Christian who would be willing to spend some time with me. Wow. Because we only want to spend time with each other.
Yeah. Or, you know, the only time you want to spend time with that person is in the house of the Lord.
And when they come to join your church. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to spend no real time. Because you think about this. Jesus spent time with the disciples.
Outside of the synagogue.
But they had their time. They had their personal time. But all of his other time was spent with the unchurched. All of his other time was spent around people who he could give something to. Who he could pour into. Not folk who already knew the Lord. Wow.
Yeah.
Number three. I would like to learn about the Bible. From a Christian. He says, this is one, and again, he's using quotes that people gave him while he was doing his survey. The Bible really fascinates me, but I don't want to go to a stuffy and legalistic church to learn about it. It would be nice if a Christian invited me to study the Bible in his home
or at a place like Starbucks.
Don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Small groups. Small groups, or
you gotta have bait before you can get the fish, man.
Or even if you can't do, if you don't have the room to do small groups, make sure your Bible study is not this, what he just described, this stuffy legalistic Bible study where it's you giving an showing us your oratory skills.
Set a rule. You gotta do this. And you gotta do this.
And you can't ask questions
until
the end.
You gotta do this. Not with the gotta do.
Yeah,
it's
done.
God and understanding Him and how He has created us and what He purposed for us. I think we start there.
Oh my God. Okay, let's keep going. Let's keep going. Number four. I don't see much difference in the way Christians live compared to others.
Mm-mm.
I rarely can tell what a Christian believes because he doesn't seem much different than other people I know. The only exception would be Mormons. They really seem to take their beliefs seriously. Wow.
I don't know. They tripping. I would have thrown in Jehovah's Witnesses. They for real.
Nah. They for real about their study. But Jehovah's Witnesses, come on.
No, I'm to my practicing Jehovah's Witnesses.
Go to meetings every Tuesday.
Do they celebrate their birthday?
Do not celebrate their birthday.
Right.
So. However, they will go to a party, though.
They sign up.
Huh?
They go to parties?
And we'll,
no, that's not the...
Ain't nothing in the Watchtower that say they can't go to parties. It say they can't celebrate their birthday. They don't celebrate birthday. But if you just want to go out and have a drink at a bar,
they're open to us.
Oh, they're going to be there. They open to some fellowship now.
A can of beer.
Or three. Huh?
That's odd.
And I'm talking about some serious ones. Well, they will not come to your church, but they will invite you to the hall, though.
To the hall.
Oh, you always invited to the hall.
Or to their home study.
They ain't going to come to yours, though. Now, only way you let them in your house
the devil.
Is if you let them in under the pretense that we're going to use this watchtower. Now, when they get in, you lock the door and pull out that young King James and shed a word.
We're going to use this.
Let's keep going. Number five. Again, we're talking about what non-Christians really think about Christians. Number five, I wish I could learn to be a better husband, wife, dad, or mom, etc. from a Christian. The writer says, my wife is threatening to divorce me, and I think she means it this time. My neighbor is a Christian, and he seems to have it together. I am swallowing my pride and asking him to help me.
That's a great open door.
We are supposed to be the examples.
Yeah.
We are supposed to be the example. But unfortunately, you got so many examples of Christian husbands beating on Christian wives. Huh?
And
Christian wives beating on, let me get it the other way too.
Yeah.
Christian wives beating on Christian
husbands.
Even
if it's not physically, it can be
mentally or verbally or whatever. So, you know, you got all kinds of stuff. Or, you know, you have Christians who are poor parents. We are supposed to be the example. As the Bible says, we are the salt.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay.
Take the salt out of the shaker.
Watch out now. It ain't no good just sitting there. Number six, some Christians try to act like they have no problems.
I love those Christians.
Oh, my God. Harriet works in my department. She is one of those Christians who seem to have a mask on. I would respect her more if she didn't put on such an act. I know better. Now, this works both ways, because I don't think you should be walking around as the woe is me Christian.
Right.
Because everybody don't need to know. You know, I mean, you know, what's the saying? I'm glad I don't look like what I've been through.
Mm-hmm.
Just because my life is in shambles don't mean I should walk around looking like I'm in shambles. But at the other times, though, I shouldn't be also standing around acting like my life is perfect. Everybody has issues. Everybody has problems. Everybody has stuff and trials that they're going through. But that does not mean you need to sit there and because I'm kind of twisted with this one. I don't think you need to show it all the time.
Right. And I'm just saying, I got hang-ups. Yeah. I don't do brown eggs. I mean, I got hang-ups.
No. Yep, not perfect. That is my hangout.
May I ask the question? May I ask a question? I must ask the question. Since you brought it up. You opened
See?
The door.
Here we go.
Has the Mrs. prepared any eggs yet? Is she an egg preparer, or that's not a?
She does egg whites.
Egg
so
whites.
She does a great job.
Egg whites. Okay, so you have not had a brown egg, sir.
No.
Okay, so did you express this to her about the brown egg?
She's
been made aware.
Well aware.
Okay, let me move on.
She does an excellent job
at the non-brown egg.
Yes.
Amen. Hey, bless her heart. Bless her heart. She is wonderful.
I forgot I brought my shop with me.
Number seven. Oh God. Number seven. I wish a Christian would take me to his or her church.
Oh.
Mm. I really would like to visit a church, but I'm not particularly comfortable going by myself. What is weird is that I'm 32 years old and I've never had a Christian invite me to church in my entire life. Do you see? Wow. So I like what he said. Take me. Because see, we always, this is, here we go with the sirens and ambulances, y'all. This is the thing that we often hear. You should come to my church. You should come to my church. Instead of, hey, you know what? Man, would you like to come to church with me? I'll come and pick you up. See, that's different. Because, see, now you're taking, when you do that, you immediately remove the excuse, I ain't got no way.
All right. Well, what do you do if, is there a dress code? Because that might come up, too. Not for you.
Matter of fact, do you want to wear jeans? I'll wear some, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That way, even when we get there and a lot of people ain't in jeans, I invited you, I'm going to be in jeans.
I became...
Mm.
All that I might win.
Come on.
That's awesome, man. I think about that. And then, too, I've started to encourage something they may call a little heathen.
Uh-oh.
Heathenistic.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
Don't promote the church. I say promote the idea of developing the relationship whereby that from that relationship they would want to know where you worship.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're still getting Christ from you, who is a part of the church, then guess what? Where two or three are gathered, there he is, and you know, their God is in the midst. And so, you know, I think it's an idea to really promote Christians to understand that we're all ministers of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so don't be so quick to just send people to church so the preacher can preach to them.
Mm-hmm.
You have the ability to minister to them first. You're their first contact.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen. Let me finish up the article real quick. We have last part. It says.
It's another part.
Yeah, it was more. It says, do you see the pattern?
Oh.
Non-Christians want to interact with Christians. They want to see Christians' actions match their beliefs. They want Christians to be real. In one study we conducted, we found only 5% of non-Christians are antagonistic towards Christians.
Mm.
It's time to stop believing the lies we've been told. Jesus said it clearly. The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Satan is the author of excuses. There is no reason to wait to reach those who don't know Jesus Christ. We must go now. The harvest is waiting, and the Lord of the harvest has prepared the way. Hmm. My God, that's good stuff.
Yes, sir.
That's good. So, it like you said, there is no excuse. Now, don't get me wrong. If you know, there's a difference between one who the evangelism. There is a gift of evangelism versus somebody who just works on the evangelistic team. There is a gift, and I would hope. The person leading said evangelistic team had the gift of evangelism, because see, you could work on a certain thing and that really might not be your gift.
Hmm.
Now, you could have the gift of gab. That's not a spiritual gift. but you could have the gift of gab, meaning
that's
you
true.
Can draw people to you with conversation.
Yep.
That does not mean you have the gift of an evangelist, but what it does mean, if you get your information together, you could better draw people in with your conversation and then lead them to the person who can then turn around and teach.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Because yeah. remember, you the first hook.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
Right. My job is to get you out the water. It's somebody else's job to season and
yeah.
cook you. Woo!
And yes, sir. Yes, sir. And you have to remember that when we go out into the world, we are the bait.
Out there,
he's still
all right. Wow. All right. So here we go. I don't know what. Yeah, we got kicked off for a hot second. Glad y'all stayed. Glad y'all stayed. Not sure what that is. Anywho, what I wanted to say is our studio is located in the 15th district, and we are having in the district. If you happen to live or know someone who lives in the 15th district, tomorrow morning is the community meeting, 15th district clergy and community meeting at 5701 West Madison at the 15th District Police Station. If you're concerned about what's going on in the community, even if you don't live in the Austin community, you could just live in Chicago. It doesn't matter whether or not you live in the Austin community. But even if you just live in Chicago, or if you know someone who does, I recommend you tell them about this meeting. It takes place on the first Tuesday of every month. Now, we had a different meeting last week, Tuesday, because that was after Memorial Day, so they wanted to talk about some stuff. But this is the normal scheduled meeting. Asking that any and everybody come out to this meeting. Nobody is turned away. You don't have to be a block club president. You ain't got to be none of that stuff. You could just be, I live here and I want to know what's going on. So I implore you to come out at 10 a.m. We're going to be discussing that. Last week, Wednesday, we had our first 100 to 200 block session on the corners between 6 and 7. And that's going to continue. So we're going to be giving a quick recap of the first Wednesday. Unfortunately, we were out there from 6 to 7, and right around 7:15, right here on the corner of Central and Lake, somebody was shot. 15 minutes after we left the corner.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we just want to continue to pray. And you can't be afraid. You can't be afraid. I made it a point last week to hit all the central corners. So this coming week, I think I'm hitting all the all the Laramie corners this week. So with my deal is if I'm out there by myself, then I might as well go everywhere. I don't have a group of people with me, so I'm just gonna go. So and that's just the truth. Get over it.
So you all hit the blocks every week now?
They are out every – it's every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
It's every
cool.
Wednesday.
Cool.
So every church is out on all – let me pull it up real quick. On all the corners, we are out on here. I can just pull it up right here. It's on my phone. But we are out on all the corners. And it is it's actually good, man. It's actually pretty awesome just to be out there. We are on Laramie and Lake – Laramie and Adams, I believe also Laramie and Chicago Avenue.
Okay.
I believe Laramie and Division, because that's not on this sheet. Then we're on Madison and Central, Madison and Lake. I'm sorry, Madison and Central, Central and Lake, Central and Chicago Avenue.
Okay.
And then also Division and Central. So I missed Division last week. I didn't go down far enough.
Division
so I'm about to hit,
Central.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you know the area, you've done some spots. Now, in the 11th district, that's my mom's district, they're on Kedzie, Kedzie and Lake, Kedzie and Chicago Avenue. Real,
okay.
Real rough, real rough. And I know that's where the district is focusing at most of their stuff at over there, because that's where Turk's Church is over there. So they're focusing over there, because I was out on the corner over there a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
But they are definitely focused over there. So if you can get out, man, grab the red shirt on Wednesday and join us on the corner somewhere. If you want to email me to find out where I'm going to be, email the show, takinglimitsoff@comcast.net. I'll tell you what corners I'm going to be on, but I'm not going to be stationary. I go where they tell me they need people to go. So that's what I'm going to do. Central normally has a decent crowd all the time, Central and Madison. So, if it's 100 people on the corner of Central and Madison, they don't need 100. They only need 50. So 50 more, y'all need to go somewhere else.
Exactly.
Because Central and Lake was lacking this past week. Was a short amount of people there. And, maybe if we'd have had you know, people gonna do what they're gonna do anyway. So, but we'll see. We'll see. So I'm asking you guys to come out if you can, help out and support. This is, you know, we just want to bring some attention to the area. And this is what this is my conversation with the people that I spoke to. I just want to talk to see. I just want to know how you're doing and what's going on with you. Because see, my thing is that you might be the only person that person talks to all day. And you just giving out and reaching for a handshake could be the difference in somebody's life. Could be the difference in them who may be going to do something evil. You stopping them for 5 minutes might deter them later on. They might be angry about something, and you just granting them with a smile and saying, "Man, can I pray for you real quick? Is that all right?" And before I pray for you, do you have somebody in your family that you would like me to pray for? That's simple conversation. That's not over-the-top evangelism. That's just saying, hey, you know what? I'm a Christian brother who wants to pray for you. You know, I don't need to know if you know the Lord, but I watch this. When you ask somebody, can you pray for them, and they say yes, that ought to tell you right now. They know something about the Lord that they're going to allow you to pray for them.
Exactly.
Come on now.
That's truly a blessing.
It is.
I'm interested to know if they're actually doing something like that on the South Side. So I haven't really seen anything. Everything has really been a thrust from just a startup from a few big churches. Really.
How far are you from, because on the South Side they do a lot of peace marches. How far are you from Father Flager's church?
Where is he?
Ain't he on? No, you're on Cottage Grove.
I'm on Cottage.
He's on something South Chicago Avenue or something, or whatever the street is.
Oh, he on South Chicago?
I think so.
He's
a ways away.
He's a nice ways further east from me.
I think that's where his church is, but they always got something going.
Yeah.
On the South Side. I think it's just depending on the pocket where you are.
Yeah.
So you need to figure out who's doing what over there. So find out what
there needs to be.
If you find out what your district is, I can find out who's doing what. Let me know what your district is, and I can find out who's doing what. But anyway, if you're able to come out, do that tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, and then tomorrow evening, and then Wednesday evening, sorry. Tomorrow morning, Tuesday, 10 o'clock, and then Wednesday evening, 6 o'clock. Meet me on one of these corners. Let me know what you want to do. I'll be out there. Grab you a red shirt. I don't care what kind of red it is. You can have whatever on it, as long as it's red, so that we know who you are and we out there with us, because that's what we're going to have on, red shirts. For the blood. That's what I say. For the blood. Anyway, we're going to get out of here, y'all. I hope you enjoyed Mission on Monday. We apologize for a few technical difficulties we had earlier, and trust me, by Wednesday, whatever was going on over here on this Ustream side, going to be fixed. I decree that right
and
now.
Declare.
I declare that and decree. And, man, let me go ahead. I ain't proper lying either. My brother, can you pray us home, please?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, Lord. We are grateful for who you are and how you've continued to bless us. Mm-hmm. Now, God, we pray for those and their efforts to infiltrate the communities where the violence and all of the crime is happening. God, we pray for the saints and their influence in these immediate communities. Pray for my brother, this show, the administration and all of the team of people who help to make this show great. We also thank and bless you for the listeners who also help us to become who we are and help us to spread this voice of sort of reasoning and biblical understanding. So God, we just thank you for all of those things. We thank you for your blessings, your mercies, your benefits that renew themselves daily for us. Now, God, we just continue to pray your peace, your blessings, and ultimately your will being done in each and every one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Look here, y'all. It has been a wonderful show. We thank you so much for listening. Man, look, y'all, it's hot in the city. So, you know, that means that you're going to bring out the idiot. So make sure, you know, beware of your surroundings, and y'all stay blessed. We are out of here. I'm going to leave y'all with a little bit of this Norman Hutchins little praise. I feel that in my spirit. I want to go ahead and put that on. But y'all be here to enjoy that. Get you some of that. Y'all be good. Get on the swivel.
He's a very present help in the time of trouble. And how many know that when you get in trouble, you can call him and he'll come to your rescue? But you can't look cute and you can't be quiet. But you got to open your mouth and say, Lord, I need your help. Anybody here tonight need God's help? Come on, clap your hands and bless. he'll step in just when you need him most. That he'll step in.
He'll step in. Clap your hands and bless God right now.